Chapter 2, Narrow and Regular.
So can we talk about the first group then? So we're going to talk about patients that come in and they're tachycardic and they have narrow complexes and they're regular. And from now on, I'm going to assume that we are not talking about sinus tachycardia. So they're narrow and they're regular. What produces this? There's a number of different mechanisms that can produce this. And the first one is the classic PSVT. It's got lots of different names. The naming is stupid. It's paroxysmal supraventricular tachycardia. This is a circus movement tachycardia. This is a tachycardia generated by impulses going round and round and round and round and round inside the AV node for reasons we don't have time to go into, but it's going round and round and round inside the AV node. And because of that, it's then firing these impulses down through the vast conduction system. And they are going into the ventricle, but they're conducting very quickly. So it's narrow because they're conducting quickly into the ventricle. And they're regular because this is a circus movement, and circus movements are regular. This could also be produced by another circus movement, but instead of in the AV node, this circus movement is going round and round and round inside the whole atrium itself. It's actually called a macro reentry circuit. It's a big one. So it's going round and round and round. And every time that circus movement electricity comes down to the AV node, hits the AV node, fires an impulse down the AV node through that fast conduction system into the ventricle. And again, it's narrow complexes because it's going through that normal fast conduction system. And then you've got this thing called WPW, orthodromic WPW. We're going to talk a lot about WPW at the end. But in this case, WPW is where you have this extra piece of conduction material which shouldn't be there that can connect atrium to ventricle. Again, in the visual portion, it'll make it a lot simpler. But in this case, what's happening is that you've got an impulse and it goes down the AV node into that fast conduction system, really cool. And it's narrow because it's going down in the ventricle really fast, but then it's coming back up into the atrium via this extra piece of copper wire that shouldn't be there. So you can have a circus movement like atrial flutter, but this time it's going from the atrium down the AV node into the ventricles, back up into the atrium, round and round and round and round and round and round and round.
And the good thing about that is that even though it evokes immediate fear in people when you mention the word WPW, is that when we're talking about this WPW that you're mentioning that goes down through the AV node and then up through this accessory pathway that everyone's learned about, it can essentially be treated in the same way as we're treating any of these rhythms. And so you don't have to actually know that that's a diagnosis to treat it.
Now, knowing that physiology then, that pathophysiology, can now help you work out what to do for these patients. Because in every one of these cases, the AV node has been involved some way, either in creating the rhythm or being part of the circuit of the rhythm. And so now I know that I can, if I could block that AV node, I can either block the rhythm or I can work out what exactly is going on. So if I give these people a really short acting agent and the shortest acting AV nodal blocking agent, an agent that turns off the AV node, so it doesn't work anymore, it stops conducting. If I use an agent, and that agent's called adenosine, that'll fix a whole bunch of these arrhythmias. It'll, in fact, stop them. It will convert them into sinus rhythm. So if you give somebody PSVT, so paroxysmal supraventricular tachycardia, where that circus movement is within the AV node, if I give you a drug, I turn off the AV node, it stops the rhythm.
And it usually just fixes it for good. They convert to that normal sinus rhythm, and they usually stay converted after that brief administration of adenosine.
It's fantastic. Sometimes they go back into it, but most of the time they just stop. So that's great. If you have atrial flutter, remember it's going round and round in the atrium. It's a macro reentry circuit. Now I give them adenosine. Unfortunately, this time it doesn't block the rhythm, but it gives you the diagnosis because now you block the AV node and you can see the rhythm, the underlying rhythm, that's the atrium that's going really fast. You can see that on a rhythm strip really well. You see these things called flutter waves,
right,
sawtooth baseline really well. And you go, okay, now I know exactly what's going on. And I'll go to the next step, which is to block the AV node for a long time. And that's not with adenosine, it's with another agent. Now, if it's this scary WPW one, which we talk a lot about, again, remember that circuit is going from the atrium through the AV node to the ventricle back up by the accessory pathway. If I give adenosine this time, guess what happens? I stop that circuit. It can't run around because I've blocked the AV node. It stops the rhythm. So in all cases, when it's narrow and regular, it's safe to give adenosine. There is another thing that we need to talk about for 1 second. There are some forms of ventricular tachycardia that are narrow.
It's pretty rare. Pretty rare.
You're batting sort of with the big leagues when you're trying to work this stuff out. The good news is that a lot of them are actually called adenosine sensitive. They shouldn't be sensitive to this drug adenosine, but they work and it gets worked out later. But again, for 99% of your patients, narrow, regular, I give adenosine, it's safe, and it'll stop it, the underlying rhythm, or it'll tell me what's going on. Is that all clear?
That's yes, totally clear.
That's great.
That's
Thank you.
Best I've ever heard it, and you could only make it worse.
thank you. Now, there are other ways you can treat this narrow, regular form. I like adenosine because it's ultra short acting. Side effect profile, it means it goes away very quickly. It has one major downside. It gives people chest pain, and it gives people very severe chest pain, and they do not like it. In fact, it feels like they're having a heart attack, even though it doesn't last for a long time. So before you give adenosine every time, you've got to say, Mrs. Smith, your chest is going to hurt a lot. It's only going to last a few seconds. It's going to go away, but tell them about it because it's pretty bad. So adenosine gives you pain, bad. Tell the person, and they tolerate it much better if they know, oh, there's the pain they said that would come, and then it's going to go away. Now, if you don't want to use that, then you can use calcium channel blockers or beta blockers to block that AV node, to block those circuits, or to slow down the AV node in the case of atrial flutter. And you can use something like diltiazem. A simplified way of doing it is 2.5 milligrams per minute up to a total of 60 milligrams, okay? So there are other alternatives to adenosine.
So that was the first category, narrow and regular. But again, not sinus tachycardia. You looked very carefully. You didn't see P waves. So we're not talking about sinus tachycardia. And the most common type of a narrow, regular tachyarrhythmia is going to be one of these supraventricular tachycardias, SVT, or PSVT, paroxysmal supraventricular tachycardia. The most common type is a circuit that's going round and round and round in that AV node. So what you want to do is you want to break that circuit. There's a few ways to do this. One of the ways the guys did not talk about is that revert maneuver. And if you want to hear more about that, and you totally should, then you should go to EMRAP September 2015, and there's a bonus short that goes through the revert trial and the exact maneuver. Another way to do this is by use of adenosine. And adenosine is sort of like your way of grabbing that AV node by the shoulders and shaking it, or maybe spanking it a little bit and saying, you quit your hijinks. It shuts it down for about 20 seconds. And that allows it to reset and hopefully go back into sinus rhythm. Now, it's usually going to be SVT, but it's not always SVT. There are some other ones like a macro reentry circuit, like atrial flutter, where the whole circuit is within the atrium itself, not in the AV node. And that one's not going to stop with adenosine. And there's also WPW. That's when you have the normal fast conduction system. Impulses go down the AV node through the fast conduction system, making that narrow complex QRS. But then it goes back up to the atria through an accessory pathway, and then it forms this re-entry circuit. That accessory pathway is giving you that slurred upstroke of the QRS complex, that delta wave. So a question that I had, super common question, can we safely use adenosine with WPW? And the answer is yes, if the rhythm is narrow and regular, adenosine is safe, whether it's SVT or WPW in SVT. You could also try a calcium channel blocker or a beta blocker. Let's do some more.
Now let's do the group where they're narrow and regular. So we're still talking about that same arrhythmia group, but this time they're unstable. So the first group, we said they're stable. We give them adenosine, or maybe we give them diltiazem. It's going to block the circuit. It's all good. If they're unstable, then you can do what we do in any patient that's unstable. You can just cardiovert them. That's perfectly fine. But you can also give adenosine if you like. So they've got an SVT and they're not looking so good. You can still give adenosine because it's such a short-acting drug, and if it switches off the arrhythmia and they go back to sinus rhythm, they get better very quickly. You do that with all of your airway equipment stuff ready, with your defibrillator ready, and you can do that. If you're new to this, you're obviously going to have somebody more senior there with you, and if you're senior, you've done this many times, because personally, I'd rather have adenosine chest pain than cardioversion chest pain, because I think the adenosine chest pain is less, but I don't know. I haven't had either.
Yeah, well, I think that's reasonable. And one of the things that people always ask about this is how many joules do I set the machine at? And you know, there's not hard and fast answers to these. There's sort of guidelines. But for all the things that you've been talking about that cause a narrow, regular tachycardia, lower joules are probably the way to go to start, because a flutter, PSVT are often converted at fairly low rates compared to stuff like atrial fibrillation, which takes higher amount of joules. So starting at 50 joules would be reasonable most of these patients.
Okay, yep. So that's a good pull. These narrow, fast ones tend to be electrically unstable. A little bit of electricity, 50 joules is enough to convert those people if you want to do it.
And if 50 fails, you do 100?
I just keep doubling.
100 fails, you do 200. All right, good.
So if it's narrow and regular, but the patient is unstable. If I say unstable, you say cardiovert. Okay, let's try that. Unstable.
Cardiovert.
Unstable.
Cardiovert.
Unstable.
Cardiovert. This is fun.
Yes, that's correct. You're going to cardiovert that patient. It's always a good option for an unstable patient. And you can start at 50 joules. If that doesn't work, you can increase to 100 joules. A lot of people would advocate for trying adenosine here as well, and that's fine. Adenosine works within a couple of seconds. It only lasts about 20 seconds, so you might as well try it. It may cause less pain to the patient than zapping them with a bolt of lightning.
A bolt of lightning! Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever gonna strike!